minutes now.
Yeah, we sort of ran to the bottom over there. So he said that there really are three things, three stages, which he has in the process of appropriately learning Torah. There's Chidud, Megirsa, Asuki Shmaitz, Libet, the Hilchus. So the first step is the Chidud. So Chidud, Adayin, and Yedias of Torah, he Kinesa, the Seichel of Torah. The process of Chidud is the ability to think the way the Torah wants you to think. Shalom imates la'atzmoy derech ha'machshava shalot Torah. He's adopted. Some people want to adapt, but he actually wants you to adapt, not to adapt, because that's the problem. Some people adapt, but he's saying imates is to adapt. La'atzmoy derech ha'machshava shalot Torah. You train yourself to how the Torah thinks, to the point that it becomes that's your natural. That's how you think. That's really a different thought process than just seichel anushi. So this ability to do like that, having that sensitivity to the thought process, comes through the process of chidur. So let's just see one more paragraph. Okay, so Amari, Amara, whoever those are. Amari, Amar, Veloza, let's guess, right? Amar, Reb Yaakov, Amar, Reb Abba, I don't know. I'm like, okay. Shetzer, Chacham, Amachad, and Seth, Lezeb, Allah, Chacham, Shmarach, Matzliach, Lehem. We're in Shabbos. It says that two Tzim, Chacham, which are Machad at each other in Allah. Rosh Hashem, Matzliach, Lehem. Shemar, Bahador, Chotzlach. Atikar, Bahador, Chalab, through bechadatcha, you're sharpening each other. It's slach, you'll get a hatzlach. So the person goes up to he's riding high. Yogal filo shal lishma. Tamalarman, the pasuk says, "Vaiter should be al devar emes." What do you have? Al, you have ad. Should be al. Yeah. Other emes. Yogal mehegas. That tamalarman va'and v'tzedek. So we're darshing this pasuk. The reason why Theram said the Shabbos is the Gemara is actually discussing before the issue of our wearing weaponry. Is that considered a tachshit for a man, that he should be allowed to wear it on Shabbos outside and mock him with the being Israel Mitzvah? Did we look at it, those things as tachshit? So Lazarus says yes, come and say no.
We don't care about.
And Lazarus brings a pasuk, Chagor Charbach, he had Dorch of a Hadarecha, and then the pasuk continues and says, Hadarecha Tzlach, etc. So the more in that context brings this pasuk. So then the more it goes off into darshing this pasuk in a different way, which is talking about the mimichad at each other in halacha. So, Hatzlocha v'aliyah l'gedula habo speak with hachidud inyanan his alus l'seichel ha'tara shilamal ben ha'seichel ha'tivi kal al haskola ha'tivi z'er chazal mispatim shi'aliyah gedula v'hatzlocha l'kis. Okay, so the standard thought process is nishkring. That's not what Chazal are describing as these. It's a moment of atzlocha and gedula, etc. It has to be something greater. Seichel dak v'tzach havana v'hargosha dak v'chada. Zay dargas hachidut. Harishayna shabedargas bunyan l'ki. So that itself is something extraordinary that they've been zeichel to. That they're developing. That their thought process is a thought process of how the Torah looks at something.
So who gets that? Anybody who learns Gemara? Anybody who develops themselves?
That's the more example.
Is it a spectrum of
I would believe it's not everybody gets it. I've definitely had that experience of people not getting it. And sometimes we don't get it either, right? I'm saying, but yeah, part of the process of learning for a period of time is a person sort of develops we talk about a person has das tarp, right?
Right.
What do we say? Right? Besides that, there are unique individuals that have a certain siyata d'shmaya, etc. That's part of it, obviously part of it as well. But part of it is, you know, part of the purpose of Torah, the learning of Torah, is to give you the information the Torah wants you to. Part of it is to give you the ability to understand what's happening in life.
Right.
What's happening in life is a sugya of Torah.
Why does he call it? Is it really the milam in Derech HaTeva? Is that true that Talmid Chacham are really smarter than everybody else in the world?
I don't think he's saying it's a question of being smarter.
They have a tefisa that other people don't have. Not everything else about things that go on.
I it's an interesting question, and it's hard to answer that question.
The world's a very stupid place. Myself.
So I'll tell you this: I had a fascinating experience when I was teaching. I first started teaching a beginner's Gemara Shir in the night Carl in Cleveland. Tells Carl had a night Carl when I was a Gemara. Eventually they opened the full-time Carl in the Cleveland Heights. But at that point in time, it was different, every night of the week. I learned all about them, etc. So I went one night a week. And I learned, I gave an hour on the Skol's Gemara, I gave an hour something, you know, halacha, whatever. So I saw this Gemara Shir where there was like five or six people in it. There were six people in the Shir, and any given night you didn't have all six, but five of them were Bali Chuma. One of them was an FFB who didn't have a great experience in Yeshiva, so he sort of like dropped out, you know, before he really had mastered the ability to learn. And I found that these guys were very intelligent people. They were high up in their fields. One of them was a chemist. He was listed in the Who's Who of Chemistry. He had multiple patents and papers, etc., published. Another fellow was the head of the IT department of a multi-million-dollar corporation. They're not stupid people.
Right.
And they had the darndest time learning Gemara.
It wasn't just a translation.
Well, there was a translation issue also, but there's like getting used to the thought process of how Gemara takes something apart. Gemara is a very funny way to learn something. It's not how they teach it in the secular world. The secular world is, you know, it's very, Gemara is very much process oriented in thinking. In other words, Gemara says, well, maybe this, but what about that? You don't teach that in the class. You say, these are the facts, here's the big picture, you break it down, it's very nice and organized, etc. It doesn't teach how to take it apart yourself,
right?
It gives you information, right? You over here, the Gemara is so, the Ramban says a fascinating thing. Ramban says in his Hakdamah to Sefer Melachos, he says that one of the Ma'alos HaTorah is that there's no right, there's no chayt, there's no ma'ifis chaytet. It's the strangest statement, sentence to our thought process. Maybe it means a raya. There's no definitive raya in learning Gemara. Can't prove anything. Of course, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous. A raya like this, right?
It's not raya,
but he himself writes sometimes that, you know, you're clearly wrong and there's no other way to learn. You're not Morris Gomer, and, you know, and it cannot be. It's not true. The raya was a raya. Because raya, like, you know, there's no chaytet. But if it's chaytet. Okay, so whatever that means, right? How the Rishonim, after saying there's no wife Mefarshim Chartim use some very strong lashonas about how everyone was long, not like them, is totally wrong. Okay, but why is that godless? Why is that godless that there's no Mefarshim Chartim? In science, the whole godless is to find the Mefarshim Chartim. Right? It's just because in life it doesn't work like that. In life, there are multiple ways of looking at something. So, and they all have validity to them. Each one has, and each person is mechunan with a certain way of understanding something. So he's going to way he thinks. So he's going to see that and see that very clearly, and it fits. And the fact that it fits multiple ways is being genuine in the reality of our life. Like, you know, Ryan always likes, you know, saying, you know, what's the square root of 4, you know, and that's his favorite, you know, one of his favorite questions.
What's the square root of 4? 2, I think, usually. Isn't it?
It's, well, to be negative.
Or negative, right?
2 or negative 2.
2 or negative 2.
Right, because negative 2 times negative 2 equals 4. Right. So there's two answers to a simple mathematical question. Right. Okay, so I went and suddenly intuit that. Right. But you tell me that's a fact. It's a fact. Right. So that something like so life, which is hundreds of times more complicated, there's no one answer. Right. So the ability to sift through and to get that ability, the training of how to look at it and what's the important thing you should look at and to weigh them and to balance them and to come with what you feel the real message of a Gemara is, the real message of an issue is this process of Kidu that he's talking about.
And that's he calls it Lamaila.
And that is, there's a Siyata Nishmai which comes to that. Part of what the Torah teacher gives you is the kalim of finding them. That's the purpose of the Torah.
Can Goyim be Zaycha to that? Lamaila be Zaycha to that?
Can Goyim be Zaycha to that? I would. You see, the language of the Rambam, etc., the way Rambam describes the Aristotle, that they came to some level of this ability. Right. But the more system than a goy can learn, right? Not that he has a head to learn, but the same. The more talks about the fact that a goy who learns Torah, he gets scar. So he has some ability to learn Torah. He does not get scar for learning and getting it wrong, right? So obviously, we're saying he has some ability to learn it and get it right. I think what I spoke for the as the MC for the Yahrzeit Sula, Rabbi Einemer, right? So this is part of this idea. Did I tell you what I said over? You were there, right? No. The yeshiva had on Rosh Chodesh Iyar for Vayner, they had a suda lunch, a siyum suda for the Bachman Yeshiva High School, middle school. So it's every year. So Mr. Jacoby was the guest speaker. So I introduced, I was MC, so I introduced Mr. Jacoby with the following thoughts. That I quoted an idea which I've heard in the share from Rav Schechter. That he quoted a philosopher, Pascal. I don't think I said the name of who the philosopher was, Pascal, said was once questioned that, you know, a lot of his work is not really saying anything new. So, you know, what's your Kiddush over here as a philosopher? You're just saying the same thing as everyone else is saying. So in that vein, you can ask the poet, what's your Kiddush? All the words you're using are found in the dictionary. But obviously that's not, that's ridiculous, because the Kiddush of the poet is the ordering of the words. You know, putting them in a certain rhythm, in a certain fashion, creates something much greater than just the words themselves. So he said that that we can have two people who have 613 mitzvahs. But if you have the masara of the priorities and how to balance them, and what to focus on, what to stress, and what not to stress, you have Torah. If you don't have that, you don't have Torah.
Yes, so here, I mean,
that was the point that he said. So, what I suggested is that is why Chazal said that Shimush is greater than Limud. Limud is your, is the 613 mitzvahs. Knowing the how to apply them, lamaisa, when to stress, when not to stress, when to move out there, prioritize one over the other, and those are things that come to Shimush. So, what they're saying with Mr. Shkobi was Mr. Shkobi was not a Talmud or a Rebbeinu, but he worked with him hand in hand in many, many things over many, many years. So he's Mashamash. He gave one example. For example, this year first started. So my brother-in-law was the first boys' class, and my wife's cousin, his daughter, was the first girls' class.
The
girls' class started first. It's two girls. This is Maslow, Sarah Maslow, whatever the remaining name was. And my cousin Baylor, number two. That was the first class, girls' class. Next year, the start of the boys' class. The boys' class was bigger. His brother, grandpa's, Macy Wender, a few others. You know, that was about six or seven boys. So you have a school with a grand total of 15 kids, boys and girls combined, right? You're hiring teachers, right? And in sort of a campus, in sort of a times, and you know, it's a lot of money. So let's combine. You have two kids who want to take a calculus class. One boy, one girl. We'll combine the class. Could save money, etc. Random, put it down. I'm sure you know. If any, over the years, early years, the school started in 1964. To understand the growth of the school, my wife was in the school from 79 to 81. The high school was 10-11. My wife graduated in 81. There's a total of 27 girls in the high school, those 3 years of high school. That was how much had it grown from 64 to 79. 15 years it had grown to a grand total of less than 30 girls. Okay?
Why was nobody wanted to come?
No, yeah.
And was it that there just weren't a lot of people?
There was no academy. The academy ended in ninth grade. Some kids went away, some kids went to public school. That was the end of it, you know. So the pressures, the Federation refused to support the school because it wasn't financially viable. So why should we dump money into something which you think is going to fall apart? Unless you start doing intelligent financial practices. For example, not wasting all this money, keeping all these classes separate. Like the Academy gets it, why don't you get it? Rainer said, no way. And again, and there was people on the board who pushed Shepard in the back. And he stood as, and now the reason why the Moisset is what it is because that separation was made there. You know, the Shas Moisset and I really understood that.
But the boys probably knew all the girls also, besides. They were probably the most yeshivish guys. The girls to begin with.
Yes and no.
That's no.
Yes and no. There was definitely they had remained with Musok, taught them Musok. You know, but that was only possible because it was separate, right? So the Masoros Yisrael of keeping it separate was so important. So same thing when it comes to part of the Gemara refers to Shemesh in the concept of learning. The Gemara says that Gemara is Shemesh. That's exactly why Gemara refers to Gemara Shemesh when it comes. It's that point of knowing how to stress a board, not a board, what's a good sword, not a good sword. That's part of the process of learning Gemara. it's not just expanding the same Mishnah better. It's giving us a whole thought process of how to think right. And that's what happens. You go to he takes apart your issue and he weighs the different problem of it in a way which we respect. He knows what he's doing because he's had the training. In the process of learning, he's had that training of how to weight the different Nakudas appropriately. How much, the Diyak and Rashi. How much weight do I give to the Diyak and Rashi? Well, it depends on how much, the story wants to say, because I want to see what the other Rishonim are going to say. I have to know how Rashi writes. I have to know if that fits with the type of words that the Gemara is trying to say. There's so many subtle things we don't even think about. You just do intuitively after one, because that's how you learn Gemara. And then so once you get a guy who says a sore, which is that's not how you learn a Gemara. Well, prove to me that I'm wrong. The conversation doesn't make any sense. You can't apply the thought process. So they have these brilliant people, but difficult to learn Gemara. It took them a long time to get used to thinking the way Gemara thinks. Gemara is a really, really, the really strange way to think. It's very disorganized and very like back and forth, and the leaves things open ended and ask weird questions. It's like, strange hechatimsis. Like, what's the Gemara doing? The Gemara is really forcing you to learn how to think. Rashi Rabbeinu used to always say, "Medaf mekarla zayin lein sechel, so sechel atero." And that was his favorite line. He said, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense to you because you don't know how to think.
Sounds good.
Okay, so what am I supposed to do? The only keli I have to understand is my Gemara, my mind. Okay, so you have to hone your keli. You have to do it enough and do it enough and do it enough till it starts working. One of my favorite things is, Shira Khan said something in Shira just I can't eat this, He says, say it over 100 times to start believing. So one time I really pushed Shira Khan about something that, it's just simple, no major caution, it doesn't make sense to me. And he says, this is it. So I didn't take that, and I said, I pushed the third time. He started throwing Gemaras at me. He got all upset. He was like screaming at me. And he gets all. He had a European Yiddish. He had a little bit of a difficult Yiddish baklal, the way he had his voice, the way he spoke. And we got it speeded up and got a tattoo. It was like he was, and he started throwing shots at me. It was awesome to see. Says, you idiot, Ryan, of course you don't understand, because listen, you don't just do the same thing. You prove what I'm saying is right, like what will it be? It's talking stuff today, I have to prove it, I tell myself to you every single time. Was that great?